And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to have part two of The Pigs Are Still in the Parlor. We're going to be examining the Council on Foreign Relations, the Council of the Americas, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, and all of these globalist Illuminati organizations of the Synagogue of Satan. And I'm going to just take it where I left off last week. We're going to move very quickly on this. This is so very vital. We're going to be looking at David Rockefeller, one of the cardinal founders of these groups. We talked last week about Colonel E. Mandel House, who so inspired Woodrow Wilson, Mr. Bernard Baruch, who was the man behind the throne of Franklin Roosevelt and Sir Winston Churchill, as well as Harry Truman. And now we were beginning to talk about Bill Clinton, bring it up a little bit, you know, to modern history. Bill Clinton went to Georgetown University, very strange, a Jesuit university. He claimed to be a Baptist. And there he met his mentor, Professor Carol Quigley. Now, Carol Quigley wrote a very interesting book. I read it. It's one of the most boring books you could ever read. The only thing about it, and the reason I read it, was because it was so vitally important. And there were parts of the books that were very revealing. The book was published in 1966, and Professor Quigley, who was head of sort of the political science and American foreign policy department at Georgetown University, the Jesuit school. That's where many of America's diplomats go, by the way, to the university. The name of his book was Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. Remember, published in 1966. I think it's about 1,000 pages in length, if I can remember. Again, a very boring book. We don't offer it because, well, I don't know. You'll have to get it from the library or somewhere because I fell asleep 10 times in reading it. But let me read to you what part of it says here. He says that, in fact, there is a globalist network, a conspiracy. Remember, this is Bill Clinton's mentor. Not only that, when he was inaugurated as president, Bill Clinton actually, in his inaugural address, gave acknowledgement to Professor Quigley. He said, he's my mentor. In other speeches, he basically said, almost everything I learned about politics and diplomacy, I learned from Professor Quigley. Professor Quigley has gone on to be with the devil. I mean, on to his reward, excuse me. He's dead, in other words, from this earth. But he wrote some interesting things in his book. He says that for much of his life, he has studied the inner workings of this global conspiracy network. And he said, I was like almost a biographer for them. And they gave me access to their most secret files. Wow. And then he talks about their organizations that they have set up. And particularly the Council on Foreign Relations. He said, after World War I, there was, of course, the treaty to end the war. The sessions were held in Paris, France. And it was there that the original plans for the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the RIA, that's the British equivalent of the CFR of the United States. It was there in Paris that the original plans for the Royal Institute of International Affairs and the Council on Foreign Relations were drawn up. And these groups are called the Round Table Groups. This is interesting because just recently I went on the CFR website. That's right. The Council on Foreign Relations has a website on the internet. And they were bragging that they have recently established a new group called the Religious Roundtable. And they have invited on board people like Dr. Richard Land, the big shot administrator of the Southern Baptist Convention, and Rick Warren, the purpose-driven pastor of Saddleback Community Church, to be members of this august group and fraternity called the Religious Round Table. But they've also got Muslim imams and a Catholic cardinal, and they're bringing all the world's religions together. They've got a Jewish rabbi on this Religious Round Table, and they've got a chairperson that they've chosen. Would you like to know his name? Would you really like to know the name of the chairperson of the Religious Round Table that sits deciding what must be done to bring all the world's religions together? His name, according to the CFR's own official website, is Henry Kissinger. Oh, he seems to be in everything, doesn't he? Some people once thought that he was the Antichrist. I never did. I laughed at that, but, well, I think he might be the advisor to the Antichrist. He could be. Well, here is Quigley saying in his book, Tragedy and Hope, that the CFR plans for it were drawn up there in Paris. And ever since, it's been America's most powerful group. Now, one of the top members, in fact, he was president at one time of the Council of Foreign Relations, was the internationalist globalist banker, David Rockefeller. But Rockefeller did more than that. He went on to found another group called the Trilateral Commission. And then he was one of the founders of the Council of the Americas. And he has always been a member of the Bilderbergers, a group that's been around since 1954 that had its first meeting at the Bilderberg Hotel in Holland, in the Netherlands, in Europe. That's why they just call it informally the Bilderbergers. Its official name is the Alliance, the Bilderbergers. Recently, a man named Will Banyan wrote an article called The Proud Internationalist, The Global Vision of David Rockefeller. You can find this on the internet. And he did a book also about Rockefeller. This is like the official version of David Rockefeller. He, of course, was chairman of Chase Manhattan Bank. He says Rockefeller is one of the world's most respected citizens. Oh, yes. And in late 2002 at the United Nations headquarters, Rockefeller had a book signing for his autobiography called Memoirs. It was held there at the United Nations headquarters. And United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan gave a speech where he hailed Rockefeller's contributions to the New World Order. He said, "Mr. Rockefeller, without internationalists like you, the system we have been trying to build would not have been here. So thank you so very much, David." Indeed. CNN Cable News Network founder Ted Turner also hailed David Rockefeller. Says, "Mr. Rockefeller is the unofficial ambassador to the world. He says we can no longer think of the people and problems in other parts of the world as foreign." And David certainly understood this early in the game. He wears proudly the badge of internationalist openly, as do I, said Mr. Turner. Well, the president of Nigeria was there, Mr. Obasanjo. He lauded Rockefeller for being a great modernizer and internationalist during his banking career. And he says, "I thank God Almighty for giving you to the world." Now, I think Mr. Obasanjo might have been talking about his God, not the God of the Bible. David Rockefeller himself, when asked about if he's a member of a global conspiracy, likes to laugh about it and smile. Ha, ha, ha. You know, I wonder about that. But then in his autobiography, dated 2002, he discusses that very fact. Is he a member of an international conspiracy? Has he been conspiring with others around the world? Well, listen to what he says. This is his own words, his autobiography, in his book Memoirs, in a chapter titled Proud Internationalist. He says, quote, "For more than a century, ideological extremists have attacked the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States. They have characterized my family and me as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I am proud of it. The charge, he says, by these extremists, I guess like Tex Mars and others, is that I've been conspiring with others around the world to build a one world order. And he says, if that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it. Now, Mr. Banyan, in his article written March 2006, is a real lover of this. He loves it. He says, David Rockefeller's bold confession, finally given late in his life, is clearly momentous. Oh, it's wonderful. It's a monumental event. Finally given late in his life. But wait, didn't Rush Limbaugh say that anybody that thought that David Rockefeller had a goal of New World Order? In fact, wasn't it Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and all of the Fox News poobahs and all of the others say, ha, 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 anybody that thinks David Rockefeller is a globalist and wants a New World Order, why, they're just cooks and conspiracy nuts. Well, I guess David Rockefeller must be a conspiracy nut kook, because he says, I'm guilty of exactly that. What the extremists are accusing me of, I'm guilty. And I'm proud of it. Looks like Rush Limbaugh, maybe he needs to read a little bit. He's been reading too many, news releases from the Republican National Committee that's run, of course, by Mr. Homosexual, Mr. Ken Melvin. This Trilateral Commission, 1973, that Mr. Rockefeller founded, along with his associate, Mr. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who, by the way, was National Security Advisor in the Carter administration. Debbie Kidd, who I like to read a lot about, her articles and such. That's spelled, by the way, D-E-V-V-Y, Debbie Kidd, K-I-D-D. She wrote an article recently entitled Treasonous Agenda of the Trilateral Commission. And she quoted Mr. Brzezinski. Now remember, he helped Rockefeller to set up the Trilateral Commission. What does it mean, the Trilateral Commission? It means three great regions of the world: Europe, Asia, the Americas. And they'll all be set up as regions. And then later will come the culmination of the New World Order. You see, it's sort of a half-step thing. People weren't quite ready for a global dictatorship, so you take them one step at a time, piecemeal. Put the old frog in the boiling water, and he never jumps out till it's too late, they say. But, you know, I can already feel the hot water. I'm feeling the heat. I'm ready to jump. What do you think? How about you, friends? She quotes Brzezinski. He says there is a coming era called the technotronic era. It involves the gradual appearance of a more controlled society, a society dominated by an elite. And that elite, said Mr. Brzezinski, will be unrestrained by traditional values. Are you a believer in traditional values, you know, like God, country, constitution, peace, the Bible, family? Well, this elite is unrestrained by such traditional values. But what they believe in is not traditional values, but control of society. How do they do it? Through technology. It will be a technotronic era. And Mr. Brzezinski says everyone will be controlled from the cradle of their birth to their death. They'll be given a number. They'll be watched. They'll be monitored. You know, I think I wrote about that in my book, Project Lucid. I believe I mentioned that in my video about Project Lucid. The technotronic era. Big Brother is watching you. The pigs are not only in the parlor, but they've got their grimy old paws on our necks and they're watching us. But they're using technology to do it. She says this CFR is treasonous. It has an anti-American agenda. This is not real. It is not a conspiracy theory, writes Ms. Kidd. It is a heinous agenda. Then she goes on to talk about CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, the successor, of course, to NAFTA, the North American Union, and so on. Global free trade. Sowing the seeds for the global New World Order. You know, I could talk a lot about the Trilateral Commission and give you all the specific facts about it. Consists of around 350 private citizens. Of course, they all run corporations and organizations, and they're presidents and prime ministers. From Europe, Pacific Asia, and North America. They have a magazine, they call it the Trialogue. You know, the three. President Jimmy Carter was a member of the Trilateral Commission, and so was Bill Clinton. I guess George W. Bush is so stupid, they didn't even bring him into these organizations. They don't even have to honor him. Hey, Mr. Stupido, just do what we say. Yeah, he wasn't even smart enough to be chosen. The North American contingent is represented by 107 members, 15 Canadian, 7 Mexican, 85 U.S. citizens. Japan is the big shot as far as the Pacific Asian part of it. And then, of course, there's the European. And all of the big shots of industry are part of this. Let me read you some names. Dick Cheney, yep, he's a member. Hank Greenberg, head of AIG, the world's largest insurance and financial services corporation. Lee Raymond, former chairman ExxonMobil, director of J.P. Morgan, Chase & Company, member of the executive committee of the American Petroleum Institute. And, of course, there's David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger, Paul Volcker, former chairman of the Fed Reserve, Paul Wolfowitz, remember him? Oh, yeah. Deputy, a big shot of the Department of Defense. He gave us the beauty of the Iraqi war. And, of course, then he went on to become the president of the World Bank. There's Gerald Levin, former CEO of Time Warner, and for on the CFR as well as the Trilateral Commission. It goes on and on. Sergei Karaganov, presidential advisor to Boris Yeltsin and Vladimir Putin. Oh my, I could just name these on and on and on. Martin Feldstein, professor of economics at Harvard University. Akio Morito, co-founder of Sony Corporation. And then there's Europeans and so forth and on and on. Now let's turn to the Council of the Americas. This is a business organization. Here again, we have Canada, Mexico, the Caribbean, South America. It was founded in 1965 by, surprise, yes, David Rockefeller. They set up a group called the North American Business Committee. Then they set up the Council of the Americas. It meets regularly. They promoted NAFTA. Chief of Staff for Bill Clinton, Mac McLaurdy, just happens to be the special envoy of our government to the Council of the Americas. It's enough said about that. The Bilderbergers. Here again, we have about 130 to 150, mostly Europeans in the United States, but also some Asians, some Canadians. They meet once a year at a secret location. Does seem like our friends at the American Free Press newspaper always seem to find out about it. Jim Tucker does a good job of exposing it. They meet and decide who's going to be president of the United States. By the way, Governor Rick Perry was invited to this year's meeting held in May in Istanbul, Turkey. One of only a couple of governors. They're very appreciative of Governor Rick Perry of Texas and what he's done for them. He sold thousands of acres, actually gave away Texas land. That belonged to individuals, but that's no big obstacle. They'll take it away, and they're building the Trans-America Corridor right through that land, through the state of Texas, all the way from the middle of Mexico. In fact, the port cities of Mexico, and thanks to Mr. Rick Perry, who, by the way, is also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations now. Isn't that sweet? And let's talk about the CFR. Recently reading an article from Bloomberg.com. You know, he's the mayor of New York City that might run for president. An article by Lisa Kessinger on Bloomberg.com says Wall Street's new prize is a Park Avenue clubhouse with a world view. Now, what is she talking about? It's the Council on Foreign Relations, the 84-year-old center that seems to run the international affairs for the United States of America. She says, if you get to be a member, it's better than being on Park Avenue. I mean, this has everything. When you're a member, and only about 3,000 people are members of the world's 6 billion, man, you're really in then. And she names the members. Here's their names. President Bill Clinton, he's a life member. Billionaire investor George Soros. Blackstone Group co-founder Stephen Schwarzman. Sort of notice the Jewish names here. It's a prestigious hot ticket kind of thing, says Lisa Greenberg, an analyst at Steinberg Asset Management in New York. I'm a member, she says. How did she become a member? Well, she's an executive also at Goldman Sachs. Ah, yes, another Wall Street group. If you join this organization, by the way, you can't just join. You have to be invited. It's almost like they take a rubber stamp and stamp on your forehead the word smart, intellectual. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell, member of the CFR. Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, member of the CFR. In fact, there's only been one Secretary of State since World War II that hasn't been a member. And guess what? They never gave him one flittering thing to do. They didn't. His own memoir said, they never told me what was going on when I was Secretary of State. I never found out why. Yeah, you weren't a member of the club. That's why. Well, anyway, they go on to talk about John Edwards. He's running for president this year. He says, I'm for the poor. I believe there's two Americas, and I'm for the poor. Of course, he lives in a, what, I don't know, 20, 30,000 square foot, $6 million mansion and all that. He's a member. And so was Hillary Clinton. And Vice President Al Gore and his daughter, they're on there. Mr. Wolfenson, head of the former head of the World Bank, is a member, but so is his son, Adam. I suppose Chelsea Clinton, if she's not a member now, she'll end up one. Seems to be a dynasty sort of thing, doesn't it? One of the chairman, in fact, the chairman right now is a man named Peter Peterson. He's former also U.S. Secretary of Commerce and head of New York-based Wall Street group Blackstone. Doesn't it all go together? The business world, Wall Street, the Council on Foreign Relations, American politics. And now, of course, they brought in a number of military men. You know, Bush brought in a guy named, was it Lutz was his name, I think, just recently. Let me see if I can find that. Oh, let's see. Lutz. Was he at Yeah, here it is. You know, after most of the generals quit in disgust because of Bush's conduct of the Iraq war and about his lies, he finally got a guy and he says he's the new czar for the Iraqi war. Lieutenant General Douglas Lute, L-U-T-E, West Point class of 1975. He's the new war czar. Just so happens that he's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, according to the press release I've got here in front of me from the Associated Press, it says that Lieutenant General Douglas Lute will not only oversee the fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, but he will be side by side the associate of Stephen Hadley, Bush's new national security advisor. And Mr. Hadley, is he a member of the Council on Foreign Relations? Well, is the Pope Catholic? Of course he is. Friends, this is what we've got. They're all in the same little private club. I call it a cult. It's an Illuminati cult. What are their goals? End American sovereignty. Merge us in with the New World Order. Collapse the American economy. Take away the dollar. Destroy the livelihood of you and me and of every American. All you have to do is read the page of the Journal of the Council on Foreign Relations. You'll find about the pigs in the parlor. Now, friend, I want you to understand something. These men do not only have power and influence given them because of their dynastic connections. It's not because they're Clintons or Bushes or Rockefellers. They have a spiritual demonic power. They have a form of holy madness, or should I say, unholy madness. I believe that's why they wanted to conquer Iraq, not only for its oil, not only so that Israel could conquer the whole Middle East, but there was a spiritual power. You see, Iraq is the seat of ancient Babylon, and the Bible talks about mystery Babylon. In my newsletter, Power Prophecy, I actually had a picture, a photograph. Did you know a Jewish rabbi who is head of the Army National Guard of the state of New York was sent right after we conquered Iraq? And he sat on the gold throne of Saddam Hussein, a Jewish rabbi from the state of New York. And what did he symbolize? We Jews now control Babylon. You see, there was always a hatred of Babylon by the Jews. Why? Because it was Nebuchadnezzar. It was Babylon that brought the Jews into 70 years of captivity. Read about it in the book of Jeremiah. And they vowed revenge, and now they are the conquerors of Babylon. How did they do it? It was a Council on Foreign Relations. It was an Illuminati agenda plank tenet. And there they are. And a Jewish rabbi sits on the golden throne. And there it's published on the internet, on the website of the Orthodox Jews. Isn't that incredible? Mystery Babylon comes alive in Iraq, ancient Babylon. There are the capitals of the world, Washington, D.C., Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, Babylon. And the pigs are still in the parlor. We're going to take a short break now, friends. I'm going to tell you about a couple of wonderful books that you must have to keep abreast of what's going on in the world around us. You're listening to Tex Mars, Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? Hello again, dear friends. Great to be with you this week and every week here on Worldwide Christian Radio and, of course, on streaming audio on the internet, powerofprophecy.com. So glad you tuned in. And, I just appreciate so much your support of this ministry. I love the emails that come to me. I can't answer them all. I wish I could, but I read each and every one. Not a letter comes to this ministry that I don't read. And I so much just love every one of you. You mean the world to me. And we're going to keep Power of Prophecy beamed around the world. We're changing lives. We're making a difference. You know, a lot of people say, oh, we can't make a difference. We're so weak and they're so strong. Forget it, friends. You know, it's always, throughout history, it's only been the few that ever changed anything. The few. I mean, Jesus said, I've chosen you 12, and yet one of you is a devil. Jesus started with 12 men, one of them was a traitor, and he still conquered the world. You say, well, it still hadn't been conquered. Oh, yes, it has. He did that. Now, I've got a couple of books here, and I hope that you'll order these books. Why? Because when you order these books, they're going to help you. Then after you've read them, maybe you can pass them on to a friend, or maybe you might want to order a couple of copies of each one. They're books that I've read and I treasure. They're books of truth. One is by Dr. Stanley Monteith. It's called Brotherhood of Darkness. It's about 144 pages in length. It's about secret societies. It's about the global New World Order. It's about the course of civilization. It's about how our lives are continually being changed by these mysterious men who would rule the world. I just flipped to a page right now while I'm talking to you. Page 63, he talks about the protocols of Zion. He talks about Colonel Edward Mandel House's papers at Yale University. And how, while he was going through Colonel Edward Mandel House's papers, my member, Mr. House was one of the founders of the Council on Foreign Relations, and he's the guy, the Jewish Illuminatus, who told President Woodrow Wilson what to do. He gave us the pleasures of World War I and the Federal Reserve Bank and the IRS and the income tax. Thank you, Colonel House. What a crud. Well, anyway, while Dr. Monteith was researching at Yale University some years ago, he was researching, going through the papers of Colonel House. Guess what he came across? He came across a copy of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Wow. Colonel House knew about it. It was his guiding document, wasn't it? Well, Brotherhood of Darkness. $20 postpaid. That's $16 for the book, $4 shipping and handling. We'll send you this great book by Dr. Monteith. We also have that incredible document that, boy, the Jewish ADL, the World Jewish Congress, they've done everything to stop this book. I suppose if you have a copy of this book in a place like Germany or France, they'll probably send you to prison. The Protocols of Zion. Almost 300 pages. Well, we've got it. We're offering it. We're one of the very few people in the world that have the courage to offer this book. Some say we have the stupidity to offer it. I don't think so. You know, friends, there is a strange power to truth. There's an antiseptic power, a cleansing power of truth. And that's what we do here. You know, we used to call ourselves here Living Truth Ministries. I sometimes wonder if that wasn't a better name for this ministry. Living Truth. Unmask the synagogue of Satan. Get this book, The Protocols of Zion. It's $18 plus $4 shipping and handling. A total of $22 postpaid. Now, $22 for The Protocols, just ask for The Protocols of Zion, or Brotherhood of Darkness for $20 by phoning toll-free 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can write to us at Power of Prophecy. Our address is 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And remember, when you order anything from this ministry, we're going to put you free on our mailing list to get our newsletter, Power of Prophecy. By the way, you can read our newest newsletter right now by going to powerofprophecy.com on the international web. Okay, Let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the pigs that are still in the parlor. Some people say, Tex, you are so irreverent. You are so bad to call these people pigs. Why? We should treat these people. They're presidents and prime ministers and corporation CEOs. You should treat them with deference and respect. Hey, get a grip, friend. Get a grip. I love the words of Jesus. I love Matthew 7. You know what he said in Matthew 7? He said, judge not, lest ye be judged. He says the same measure of judgment that you use will be meted out. In other words, will be given to you. A lot of people like to take that out of context. They say, you know, Jesus said, don't judge. What he said was, don't judge unrighteous judgment, because by whatever measure you use, you're going to be measured by the same tokens. And then he goes on to say something very interesting. He explains it. You see, don't take things out of context. Read it all. Read all of that passage. You know what he goes on to say? He says, because if you exercise unrighteous judgment, you're going to be casting your pearls before swine. And what's going to happen to you? He says they're just going to turn around and rend you. They're going to eat you alive. They're going to bite you. See, there are some people like Billy Graham that says, oh, yes, I'm a friend of all the presidents. Oh, prime ministers, oh, yes. Kings, queens, oh, yes, certainly. I love everybody. I'm the friend of the Pope. Oh, he was a great man. He's a great man. He's a great religious leader. Oh, I love the Pope. I've met with him many times. Oh, yes, Cardinal so-and-so, Rabbi so-and-so. Oh, yes. Oh, Lordy. I love them all. Then Tex Mars is over here, and he says, there are a bunch of pigs in the parlor. Billy Graham says, how dare you? You're showing a lack of respect. You see, Billy Graham is casting. He says, I'm a man of God. Then he cast the things of Jesus down before swine. I say they are swine. Jesus says, judge them righteously. Then you'll know whether they're swine, whether they're pigs, whether they're hogs. And don't cast your pearls before swine. I'm telling you, friends, these people are unfit for the kingdom of God. And they are swine. They are pigs. And they're in the parlor. And we got to root them out. I don't know how you do that except by the truth. Oh, I know in the real world you take a electric cattle prod and jab them a little bit with the current on. But we don't do that as Christians, do we? We just tell the truth and the pigs will run for cover. I've always found that to be true. But if you invite them in and you feed them at the trough and say, come on into my parlor, Mr. Pig. You think they're your friends. Don't turn your back on them. They'll rend you. They'll attack you. They hate the things of God. If you love the things of God, they'll rend you. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Judge righteous judgment. Jesus' judgment is true. How can you judge? How do you do it? By what standard? By their fruits. I was recently reading on the internet news system, and there's many there, WorldNet Daily, Newsmax, Associated Press, Time.com, and others I read. President Bush went over to Europe. He signed a new agreement. Now, remember, this is not a treaty. They don't worry about treaties anymore. The Constitution says that. They don't worry about the Constitution. He signed an agreement. Didn't get ratification by the Senate as a treaty. Wasn't passed by Congress as a law. It's called the Transatlantic Economic Integration Agreement. He signed it with the European Union. It was signed April 30th by Bush, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who's the current president of the European Council, and the European Commission President, José Manuel Barroso of Spain. The document says that there will be a transatlantic economy that will remain at the forefront of globalization. Wow. And there will be a increasing convergence, get that, merging, convergence between the United States and the European Union on 40 different public policy areas. 40 different ones. They're merging us with Europe. You've heard about the North American Union. That pact, that agreement was signed in 2005, again without treaty. Now we have, in 2007, this so-called transatlantic economic integration agreement. 40 different public areas, including intellectual property rights or copyrights and patents, security standards for international trades. Security standards, that means police state standards, get it, folks? Accounting practices, of course. Have to have the same accounting in Europe and the United States because Big Brother's got to watch the accounting and make sure you pay every last farthing, shekel, and amero into the New World Order. And also implementing of RFID, radio frequency identification technologies. Oh, yes. The biochip. The ID card. Smart card. On and on and on. They've got a new transatlantic economic integration plan. The closer the United States and the European Union become, says Bush, the better off our people will be. Oh, sure. Then, listen to this one. World News, WorldNetDaily.com reports that Steve Previs, Vice President at Jefferies International Limited in London, naturally a Wall Street-type firm, told CNBC Network November 27, 2006, quote, that the Amaro is the proposed new currency for the North American community. Well, I didn't know we had a North American community yet. Mr. Previs says it's being developed right now between Canada, the United States, and Mexico. And this will replace the dollar because of the continued slide in the value of the dollar on world currency markets. And he says this will set up conditions in which the Amaro must be adopted as a North American currency. Now, remember I told you that the North American Union plan was signed as just an agreement by Bush. Bush did it because the Council on Foreign Relations first published a document toward a North American Union, and it specifies what Bush must do to get this thing on the road, get it going. 2010 is just around the corner. Now, one of the things that this plan of the CFR says that Bush is implementing, they're going to abolish the border. You know, the one in Arizona and New Mexico and Southern California, Southern Texas. The one that we have the Border Patrol now that they're telling not to do too much, just sort of make it look good until the North American Union comes. One of the things they wanted to do was to go ahead and set up a means where all of the millions of illegal aliens could be given amnesty and full citizenship, American citizenship. This was their plan. And that's why they had the comprehensive immigration reform plan. Oh, they love the big names, don't they? Big fancy titles for these new dictatorial plans. They were hoping to get that through because imagine, they said within 24 hours of the bill signing, every illegal alien could automatically be given residency status and a green card. Now, the American government doesn't really know how many illegal aliens are in America. They claim it's 12 million. Of course, they usually lie by a factor of about 2 to 1. It's interesting that Bear Stearns, one of the largest groups on Wall Street, did its own study and says there are 24 to 25 to 30 million illegal aliens in America. Wow. Well, they didn't really say illegal aliens. They said undocumented immigrants. I'm sorry I didn't use the Big Brother term. I need to learn those things before they come down and make me change my language. You know, I'm being a very bad boy here. But they wanted this immigration bill through, and they didn't get it. Now, one of the things they said to us, and boy, this was the way they thought they could get it. Ted Kennedy and Senator Kyle, I call it Kill, K-Y-L, of Arizona, and Senator McCain and Senator Reid and Congresswoman Pelosi said, you know, this bill is going to give us security. Why, we're going to build a fence and we're going to enhance our border patrol. Oh, yes, we believe in security. But first, we have to give all of the illegal aliens in America, undocumented immigrants, a free pass, a ticket to prosperity. And after that, then we can have security. But what they don't tell you is that security at the border they're talking about, it's going to vanish by the year 2010. They've already signed the plan and Congress has approved it, basically, so that the border ends and it starts a new border down at the southern tip of Mexico. And then soon there won't be any border there either, because the Council of the Americas and this Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers have ruled there will be no borders for America. None. And you know what? You think now that that comprehensive immigration reform bill failed, that Bush will say, well, now we're just going to have to start enforcing the existing laws? Uh-uh. Don't think for a minute they're going to actually start enforcing the laws. Bush needs to be impeached. He made an oath when he took office 7 years ago almost. He took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States and that he would faithfully carry out all the laws passed of the United States of America. But he says, oh, it's just impossible to do. No one can be really serious about enforcing the laws. You can't possibly think we can deport all these tens of millions of illegal immigrants. Surely you don't mean that, do you? Well, CNN's Lou Dobbs says, yes, I do. Tex Morris says, absolutely. Enforce the laws or be impeached. But remember, who would do the impeachment? Nancy Pelosi? Harry Reid? Senator McCain? Senator Ted Kennedy? Are you kidding me? They're the pigs in the parlor. They're the ones rending America, tearing it to pieces. Here's a news item for you from Washington, D.C. Dateline, May 24th, 2007. Says a powerful think tank chaired by former Senator Sam Nunn and guided by trustees, including State Department official Richard Armitage. Oh, yes. Plamegate leaker. Zbigniew Brzezinski, Harold Brown, former Secretary of Defense, William Cohen, Jewish former Secretary of Defense, Henry Kissinger, head of the Religious Roundtable of the CFR, is in the final stages of preparing a report to the White House and U.S. Congress on the benefits of integrating the U.S., Mexico, and Canada into one political, economic, and security bloc. The final report, published in English, Spanish, and French, is scheduled for submission to all three governments by September the 30th. But wait, Bush already signed the agreement in 2005 in Waco, Texas. I told you about that in my audio tape report, The Murder of America, that you could order. Two tapes or one CD. The Murder of America. They've already got the agreement signed. So what's this about this group, this think tank, that came together and is now submitting this report to the White House and Congress by September the 30th. Well, see, this is part of the propaganda. This will be published in the newspapers, the New York Times, the LA Times, the Chicago Tribune. Every newspaper in the country will say, Oh, these powerful thinkers, these wonderful men of this think tank, they believe it would be good to bring everything together. You see, they've already set it in motion. They've been working for years for this. And now they're going to tell us what they've been doing. They do it and they tell you what they've been doing. You know, I feel like this is, you know, like having a daughter. And she comes to you and she says, "Dear Mom and Dad, I've decided to get married. I'm going to marry John Smith." You say, "John Smith, but he's a criminal. He's a crook. He's a murderer. He's a rapist. He's a terrorist." She says, "Yes, I know." "You want to marry him?" She says, "Well, yes, I might as well. We've been shacking up for the last 2 decades. You know, I think there are some daughters that actually do things like that in America today. In fact, I just read that the incidence of marriage has dropped to an all-time low in Great Britain, and it's not far behind in America. Marriage is at an all-time low. People are just living together, shacking up. Pastors don't seem to see anything wrong with it. America has been shacking up with this North American Union since 2005, and now they're going to tell us it's needed. Well, we got to dot the I and cross the T. And if you don't give us a treaty, well, to hell with you, America. We're going to do it anyway. We're already doing it. We've already told our Border Patrol lay off. And the few Border Patrol agents that were loyal Americans, we put in prison when they tried to stop the drug dealers from coming across. And they did do that. There are two very loyal Border Patrol agents who shot one of Mexico's biggest drug dealers who had a big SUV full of drugs, and he tried to escape, and they shot him in the buttocks. A little comical, isn't it? He tried to get away. He was a drug dealer. He was armed. They shot him in the butt. Buttocks. Did you read that in the newspapers? Read about it. By the way, they were punished for their transgression. You're supposed to let drug dealers in. And guess who was at their trial? Who was the witness against them? The drug dealer. The U.S. Justice Department under Bush, under Gonzalez. Oh, Mr. Gonzalez, our Attorney General. They prosecuted two Border Patrol agents for doing their job. They were sent to prison, and the first man that went to prison, in the federal prison, they put him in a prison cell with who else? Mexican illegal aliens, and they beat him almost to death. This was in the paper in the last 6 months. Border Patrol agent, do your job. We'll convict you of trumped up charges. We'll send you to prison. We'll put you in a prison cell with Mexican drug thugs, and they'll beat you to death. Or they might let you live after slicing your throat and a few other precious organs. That's what they're doing. This is what's happening. And Bush knows it. Gonzalez knows it. Our Mexican-American Secretary of Commerce, and I forget his name, Mr. Gutierrez, that's it. He knows it. By the way, this think tank is called the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Remember I told you? They continually create new agencies. They've already got the Bilderbergers. They've got the CFR. They've got the TLC. They've got now the Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS. We'll probably be hearing more about that group. The results of the study explains Armand Pechard Sverdrup, director of the Mexico Project of the CSIS. The results of this study will enable policymakers to make sound, strategic, long-range policy decisions. On what subjects? Well, labor mobility. Do you get that? Mobility. That means letting labor come in from Mexico and South and Central America. Energy, that means oil. I read today in the newspaper, oil per barrel is now at an all-time high. $72, almost $73 a barrel. By the way, President Richard Haass, president of the Council of Foreign Relations, says the price of oil will reach $100 a barrel. I wonder how he knows that. Head of the Council on Foreign Relations? As they used to say, you bet your bippy, It's going to be $100 a barrel. Who said so? The CFR's president. And it goes on to say here, CSIS is an organization that, quote, boasts of playing a large role in the passage of the North American Free Trade Agreement in 1994. A treaty, now they admit it, it's not a treaty, they're lying right here. This is from WorldNet Daily. They say that NAFTA is a treaty. It isn't. It was never passed as a treaty. Congressman Newt Gingrich says, we can't get enough of the senators to approve it as a treaty. We'll just approve it as a bill. Interesting. Is that what the Constitution says? If you can't get enough senators together to vote on it and to pass it as a treaty, you just do it as a bill. And if you can't do it as a bill, just get the president just to sign it with a stroke of a pen as an agreement. Boy. Well, CSIS helped to bring about the NAFTA Free Trade Agreement. And now they've got a new report. It's called North American Future 2025 Project. It's all outlined all the way up to 2025. They've got America's future lined out for you and me. Part of it is this comprehensive immigration reform plan. Now, if we don't give them that bill, they're just going to do it anyway. They'll dismantle the borders. There'll be border patrol agents, and I suppose they'll probably set up lemonade stands across the desert. To Mexicans come across, get your lemonade on the way. We wouldn't want you to have a heat stroke as you cross our borders. That'll bother me. The next job for the border patrol will be lemonade stand directors. I predict it right here today. It's not a prophecy, just a prediction of Tex Mars. Now, Peter Drucker, who's written a book called Post-Capitalist Society. Oh, yes. Remember the Hegelian dialectic? They're going to take socialism, communism, merge it with capitalism, and then they'll have the post-capitalist society. He says the European community is the model for the North American economic community. Oh, yes. And then he says this will not only be economic. Not at all. There's a long-run objective, he says. Oh, yes. Everything comes together. One world government. One world religion. And, of course, who will this religion worship? Can't be the God of the Bible. The Muslims don't believe in him. The Jews despise Jesus Christ. The Buddhists say we believe in a nirvana. We believe in the spirits, but not the Holy Spirit. It's got to be Satan. His New World Order. The empire builders, the pigs in the parlor. Dr. Ruckman, he's right about one thing. The empire builders are the bloody killers. That's why it says in the book of Proverbs in the Bible, God said, all those who hate me love death. The empire of death, it's on the way. The pigs are in the parlor. Do you recognize them for who they are? We've spent two full programs talking about them. I pray you'll order this two-tape set on audio tape or the CD. Ask for. The pigs are still in the parlor. It's been my pleasure to be with you today here on Worldwide Christian Radio. This is Power of Prophecy. My prayer, my dear friend, is that you'll tune in each week. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.